Be seated. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would open our ears, open our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you would speak through these words and make them your words, Lord, so that each individual in this room would hear what they need to hear from you, but then also, Lord, as a body, we would hear what we need to hear from you, Lord, and that it would inspire and change us today. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my name's Amanda. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Church, for those of you who don't know me. We are in the second week of a sermon series on the little tiny 25-verse-long book of Philemon. And this sermon series is all about forgiveness. It's interesting because in the book of Philemon, never once do you see the word forgiveness, but really it's the theme that runs throughout the book. So we'll be talking about that today. You might remember last week, Patrick, at the beginning of this series, he talked about the fact that we are never more like God than when we forgive. So we're never really like God, but when we forgive, because God's very nature is to show mercy, he is a merciful God. We actually reflect his image. So we're never more like God than when we forgive. And you know, when I think about this concept of forgiveness, I wonder if any of you ever ask the question, what is forgiveness really? What does it actually mean to forgive? And the thing that comes to mind from a biblical perspective is when Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Now you might say, what does that have to do with forgiveness? Hear me out. How many of you have had an enemy? How many of you have had someone hurt you or wrong you in some way? And how many of you have prayed for that person? And I don't mean like pray that harm will come to them, but actually pray for their well-being and pray for them to be blessed. Anybody? And is it easy to do that? Well, I'll tell you, for me, it's about as easy as sinking slowly into a vat of ice. Or, you know the show Man vs. Wild, anybody? Having to eat a large insect, but not being Bear Grylls, being me, you know? It is that painful. But something amazing happens. When we pray for our enemies, as Jesus instructed us to do, we begin to change. So what first you might see happen is that you might start to take pity on the person that you're praying for. You might start to kind of see them as a sick friend in great need, just kind of, you know, working with what they've got. But then eventually, you'll start to see that that person is really a lot like me. I actually am just as capable of harming other people, and in fact, I have. And I don't like that, but it's the truth. And because of that, I'm in just as much need of forgiveness as this person that I'm praying for. So the natural result, and also because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through our prayers, is forgiveness. So when someone says, what is forgiveness? My response is, pray for your enemies. And from there, you'll have an eventual understanding of what forgiveness is. But we'll talk more about that actually at the end of the series. So today, I want you to think about this first. We are in a time of unspeakable violence. All of you in this room could name multiple episodes of violence that we've heard about recently. You could talk about Munich. You could talk about Orlando. You could talk about Nice. You could talk about Charleston. There's so many events, so many that we can't even count them. And are these events brought about by a forgiving heart? No, they're brought about by bitterness, by anger, and by fear, really. And also, many of these people that commit these acts of violence have also seen violence, some kind of violence done to their loved ones, or they've been bullied, or they've also experienced violence themselves. And so they're just responding in a complementary way. And so violence or vengeance has this far-reaching effect of division. It does not bring people together. It scatters people. And it creates more and more division and anger. But at the same time, forgiveness has the power to unite people, to reconcile people. That's exactly what it is. So I want to talk about that, the unifying effect of forgiveness. And I want to talk about this through the lens of the characteristics of one who practices forgiveness. So first, Paul's letter to Philemon is a great place to start because it's all about forgiveness. And where we are today, we'll be focusing on verses 4-7. So you'll get more as the sermon series continues. But a little background on this book. Philemon he was a wealthy man. He had a church that met in his house because at that time, that's where church happened. It happened in people's homes. Christianity was still kind of under the radar. It was pretty controversial at the time to be a Christian, so it was a little more hidden. So he had a church in his home. He was a wealthy man. He was also a slave owner because many times wealthy people own slaves. And Onesimus was one of his slaves who took off with some of his property and or money, we're not sure which, and was then rendered a fugitive and a felon. But the amazing thing is, in the process, by the grace of God, he met the Apostle Paul, and therefore met Jesus, because, you know, Paul evangelized like crazy. So Onesimus experienced the love of Christ. He was transformed in this conversion experience, and Paul came to care for him, just like he cared for Philemon. So of course, he wanted them to be reconciled. If you read Paul's letters, this is the point that he hammers so often, is being unified, being reconciled. So it's a little book about forgiveness. And the way that Paul kind of undergirds his appeal to Philemon is he starts with thanksgiving, which is really the way he starts all of his letters. He begins to thank God for what he knows to be true, these wonderful characteristics that he sees and hears about in Philemon. And he does this because he knows encouragement works. How many of you need encouragement? All of us, right? I mean, I know that when I am encouraged, it energizes me, it motivates me. Not only do I want to do well, but I want to do better, especially if I'm unsure about something and someone I respect comes to me and says, hey, you know, you did this really well. All of a sudden, I want to do better. I really think dopamine must be released when we're encouraged. So, and Paul says this again in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, encourage one another, build each other up. Don't discourage each other. Don't break each other down. Build each other up. Encourage one another because it is effective. And he says this to Philemon. He says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. So really, in Philemon, we see the characteristics of a forgiver. And I want to talk about that in this sermon today. So the first characteristic that we see is someone who's experienced forgiveness. You can't really be a forgiver without experiencing Christ's forgiveness. And second, a forgiver is concerned for unity, concerned for relationship. Third, a forgiver is concerned for knowledge. And finally, a forgiver is concerned for being a blessing and for glorifying the Lord. And these are things that we see in Philemon. So first, a forgiver is one who has experienced forgiveness. Now, we don't know about Philemon's background. He probably doesn't have a checkered past, but all of us who have experienced Christ's forgiveness, we've experienced radical forgiveness because all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. And so the natural response to that is to love. A great example of that was in today's gospel reading in Luke chapter 7, where it talked about this woman who was a city dweller or something like that. She was a sinner. She was probably a prostitute, had been forgiven many, many sins. And because of that, her response was to just love. She could not help but love. She didn't care what anybody thought, even to the point of walking into this meeting with Jesus and religious leaders, washing his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, anointing them, just pouring out love. And so Philemon is this man who has a reputation for love because he too has experienced Christ's radical forgiveness. So he can't help but love. And Paul appeals to this. Remember, Philemon, you have this reputation. Second, a forgiver is concerned for unity. So what do I mean by that? Well, Paul uses the word koinonia, which is often translated fellowship. Now, that's kind of a churchy word, kind of a Christianese word, unfortunately, that's become that. But I think a better translation is belonging. you and I, as Christians, as the body of Christ, we actually belong to one another. We mutually participate in one another's lives. So when you hear Paul talk about rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, we actually do rejoice with one another, because your happiness is my happiness. Your sadness is my sadness. We share that closely in life together, which is why Paul is always hammering the point, be reconciled to one another, be at peace, make every effort to keep that bond of peace, because you are actually united. N.T. Wright says this. He says, koinonia is part of the truth about the body of Christ. All are bound together in a mutual bond that makes our much-prized individualism look shallow and petty. So the key here is mutual participation. We are bound to one another. And this is why if there's, you know, if there's a friendship, perhaps, that when they're at odds with one another, we actually feel it. We feel it when there's some kind of fissure in the body of Christ. So we're encouraged to continue to make that effort to be at peace with each other. So third, a forgiver is concerned for knowledge. What does that mean, you might ask? Paul says this, he prays these words, that the fellowship of your faith, of Philemon's faith, may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. So what does he mean by this? Paul, actually, he uses this word epignosis, which means full knowledge. It's a knowledge that comes about by participation, by experience. So how many of you believe that when you became a Christian, the Lord placed good things in you? Grant believes it. How many of you believe that? Yeah, he placed in us the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. And though these things are in us, we come to know these things. We come to really fully grasp what this means, to have this new character in us, this new nature in us, by actually living it out. So we become forgiving people by forgiving. It's kind of the difference between seeing a beautiful picture of the ocean and actually being there, you know, smelling the smells and seeing the sights and hearing the guy that plays AC/DC like right next to you, right on the beach. Why does he have to do that? Anyway, this is about forgiveness. So finally, the characteristics of a forgiver. Number one, they have experienced forgiveness in a radical way. Number two, they have a concern for unity, for relationship. Three, they have a concern for knowledge. And then finally, a forgiver has a concern to be a blessing. They desire to bless others and also to glorify the Lord through that blessing. Paul, in his letter to Philemon, in these words of thanks, he thanks God for the fact that Philemon is known for his love. He's known for his faith, and he's comforted. I'm going to read verse 7. He says, your love has given me much joy and comfort, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. I don't know about you, but there are people in my life that bring me trouble. They bring me stress. And so to have somebody like Philemon in my life that actually brings me refreshment, you know, that person, you can just go to their house, flop down on the couch, and just be you. You know, we all need those people in our lives that actually bring us refreshment. And that's who Philemon was. And so Paul appeals to that. This is who you are. These are your characteristics. This is what you have to live up to. So live up to it with our brother Onesimus. So even though this book is about forgiveness, there's also another theme, and that's the theme of the power of the gospel to transform lives. Here we have Onesimus, a slave, a fugitive, a felon, and Paul has welcomed him. He's converted. He's become a Christian. No longer living his life as a fugitive or a felon, and Paul has welcomed him as a brother and is encouraging Philemon to welcome him in the same way, no longer as a slave, but as a brother, which is not just restoring the relationship to the way it originally was, but it's a radical kind of forgiveness, a forgiveness that transforms lives. It's really a forgiveness that points to Christ's work on the cross. And he knows that if Philemon welcomes Onesimus in this way, it will change him, it will change Philemon, and it will change his community, because it's actually a letter addressed to the entire community. So they're going to read this, and they're going to be watching Philemon. So Paul knows, because of his experience, and Philemon knows this too, and he's just reminding him, that if he welcomes him in this way, if he forgives him, it will bless the community, it will bless them, and it will also glorify the Lord. So you and I know this. We know that bitterness and anger and vengeance, those things are divisive. They can divide entire communities. But in the same way, forgiveness is unifying and can unify an entire community. It has a powerful effect. So I just want to tell a story. There's a podcast that I listen to called Invisibilia. Anybody? Any fans? Oh, we got one, two. I know Kirk listens to it. On a recent episode, they talked about, it was called Flip the Script, and they talked about this concept or theory called non-complimentary behavior. And basically what that is if somebody, for instance, behaves violently towards me, then I would respond by behaving peacefully. And the theory is that if you respond in a way that doesn't compliment the other person's behavior, it will actually change their behavior and possibly even change the person. So they told the story on this podcast of a group of friends on a summer night, not like last night, a cool summer night in DC, not as humid, stars are out. Really, it was described as a magical evening, just a bunch of friends gathered together. And in the middle of this magical, wonderful evening, this man is standing there, his wife is next to him, and an arm appears between the two of them. And on the end of that arm was a long barrel shotgun. And someone said, "Give me your money. Give me your money." Repeated it a couple of times because they were so stunned. And they responded first by being defensive, and then they tried shaming him, like, "What would your mother think of you?" And he's like, "I don't have a mother." And, you know, so nothing they were doing was working. But then all of a sudden, this woman says, "You know, we're having this party, we've got all this wine and good food. Do you want a glass of wine?" And he's like, "Yes." And he takes the glass of wine, he takes a sip, and he's like, "Man, that's a good glass of wine." And then he eats some cheese and hangs out with him for a while. And at one point he actually says, "Can I have a hug?" And this woman comes up to him and she gives him a hug. Then he's like, "Could I have a group hug?" And the entire party gathers around him and embraces him. And after that, he said, "You know, I think I have the wrong house." And they were like, "It's okay. We understand." And he left. And then they all went inside and wept with relief and gratitude. And the next day, one of the homeowners went outside and saw on the sidewalk he had gently placed the wine glass. He didn't throw it down. It wasn't shattered. He had gently placed it down. Never saw him again. Non-complimentary behavior, an example of a powerful effect. So what Paul is asking Philemon to do is something very unexpected, something that does not complement what's been done to him by Onesimus. I mean, Philemon could have him arrested, he could beat him, he could do whatever he wanted, but Paul's saying, no, welcome him as a brother, because he knows how transformative this will be. He knows how unifying this will be and that it will give glory to God. So what I want to do right now is just have you guys take a few moments to think of those people and those institutions that have harmed us or that we feel have harmed us, that we have maybe withheld forgiveness from. And I just want you to spend a few moments before the Lord bringing those names to mind. Why don't you go ahead and close your eyes and just think of those people. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us. First, I'm going to pray for them, though. I'm going to pray for these people who have wronged us. And then I'm going to pray for all of us. And then I'll ask you to join me in prayer.